Excuse me, this is the operator. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Please go ahead, your lines are open.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IRTPC call on the 15th of November. On the line today, we have Zahid Jamil, James Bloedel, Barbara Steele, Mike O'Connor, Avi Doria, Kevin Erdman, Robin Neve, and Philip Cohen. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We have apologies from Michaela Nalen, Matt Serlin, Chris Chaplow, Jacob Williams, Alain Béranger, Paul Diaz, and Bob Mountain. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie. This is Marika. I'll just take you to the first item on our list. We just did the roll call. And on the statement of interest, just to remind everyone, you'll see on the screen that the latest list of members, and I've included for everyone links to the statements of interest that can be found on the wiki. As you'll know, there's still a couple, I think one person that hasn't completed a statement of interest yet, but there are also a couple of people that actually have their old statements of interest listed there. So you are still required to complete a new statement of interest. There's some new, I think, language and headings that are required as part of the new operating procedure. So please, if you have any issues, like Glenn knows, she can send you the login details and the information that is required. But please complete your statement of interest. So then going on to item two, I would basically like to hand it over, I think, to James at this point to discuss with you the leadership positions and how to move forward on that specific item together with Avery.
Thanks, Rika, and good morning, everyone. This is James. So when we left our heroes last week, we were discussing the possibility of chair, vice chair, or co-chairs, and I think that if I remember, we had some discussion on that, but I don't know that we ever came down on one side or the other, so certainly willing to have a brief recap of that. And at the time, we had discussed having the individuals representing one registrar and one non-registrar, non-contracted party entirely. And I think that the thinking behind that was sound, that while IRTP is essentially a coordination policy between registrars and forcing them to play nicely where their natural inclinations might not be to do so, we certainly need that balance on a PVP where a non-registrar, a non-contracted party can also ensure that those concerns are addressed. Since that time, the only names that remain, the only folks that have volunteered to jump into the volcano have been myself on the contracted party side and Avery Doria on the non-contracted party side. I guess short of, anything formal, I think maybe we should throw it open to the group and say, do we have any objections to going forward with Avery and myself? And now would be, this is the part in the movies and the weddings where they say, speak now.
This is Avery. If I had the thing up to raise my hand, I would raise my hand.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to say that in doing this, I mean, we talked, and I think we were both comfortable with the notion of co-chairs. Of course, when it comes to this subject, I'm not the subject area expert. James is, and so, with co-chairs, I would be taking the supporting role, but would be able to jump in to cover and would be assisting and taking on some of the background work if this is what's acceptable, but as I think you put it, carrying the heavy load would be James. If that's what we talked about, so if that is okay with the group, I just wanted to have passed that along as well.
Thanks, Avery. I think that's a good point. The other item we address as well in our chat was just that there may be areas in our charter where I may wish to weigh in as a registrar, and chairs and vice chairs and co-chairs are supposed to make every effort to remain neutral. And I think those would be good good calls when we see those things coming up on the agenda for Avery to take the lead and to chair those meetings. But things like, I don't know, I see thumbs up, I see green check marks, so I think that we can assume that everyone's okay with this, Avery, with this arrangement.
Okay.
Okay, great. Well, we'll move forward there, and I think, Marika, you have to notify the GNSO Council, and or Zahi has to do that or something.
Okay, this is Aubrey again. I guess at the moment we count as interim co-chairs until such time as they approve it, and I guess since we have a liaison now, I don't know, I didn't catch whether he was on the call, he would be able to take it to the council or Marika can, but typically be the liaison that did that.
Okay, excellent. Starting to get some background noise there, so make sure you're using mute as judiciously as possible. Okay, the next item in the agenda. Oops, Marika says she has her hand up. I'm sorry, Marika, I didn't see that. I was scrolled down to the bottom of the list. Go ahead, please.
No, this isn't working again. No, just to indeed mention that indeed the GNSO Council is having a call coming Thursday, and I already mentioned to the leadership we had a call earlier this week that this might be an issue that you know could be raised, and they agreed that would be no problem to raise it under the any other business, and I'll check with Zahid whether he prefers to notify the council or I can do it alternatively, but we'll make sure that it gets mentioned on Thursday and hopefully followed by immediate confirmation.
Excellent, thank you. So I think we can move on to item number 3, which was questions or comments with regard to materials circulated for review. And I want to just kind of turn it over to Marika here for a couple minutes. Marika, can you refresh us on what materials were circulated for review and what sort of comments or feedback you were seeking?
Yeah, so this is Marika. There were quite a number of materials I took people through on the last call. One was the GNSO Working Group guidelines, the issue report. There was a comparison of the new PDP versus the old PDP. And I guess that might be something we discuss as well in the next charter or in the next item. There's a document that has been taken from the registrar training with regards to the IRTP that we circulated that I circulated for review. There are a couple of items that are also posted on the wiki, and it's just a question. Does anyone still have any questions on the material circulated? Any issues they would like to have further clarified? Any additional information that people think would be helpful for people to review? Now that we're at the start of this process, or any issues that we might need to cover in more detail. I'm just, for example, thinking on the IRTP itself. I know there are several of you on the call that know the issue in and out, but there might be others that are less familiar with what the IRTP entails and how it works. Is there any need to spend more time on that or maybe even set a separate call on that topic? So that was more the question that I had in relation to this issue.
Okay. I had a couple of thoughts, but I'll put myself in the queue in case there are others that want to jump in. Okay, I'll go ahead and jump in. So the first question is that with regard to the comparison between the old PDP process and the new PDP process, we are understanding that we are still operating under the old PDP process, at least at the outset of this particular working group, and I think that we're bound to do so until told otherwise. So, I don't know that we have the option, at least at this point in the game, to change that. Is that correct?
This is Marika. That is correct, although I think I did point out last week as well that there are a number of items in PDP that are not required elements or are not elements that would in any way contravene what is currently in the PDP. So there might be certain parts where, for good measure, the working group might want to consider taking certain steps. I'm just thinking, for example, there's a specific reference to making sure that other SOs and ACs are provided with the opportunity to provide input or asked to provide comments. So that might be something that the working group can take up that which doesn't really contravene anything that is currently in the PDP rule. So that's just something to take into account. But again, yes, you're correct. We're currently operating under the old or the existing PDP rules until the board adopts the other ones, and then it will be up to the GNSO Council to decide which PDPs will be transitioned and at what point in their process.
Okay, and then do we have any anticipated ETA on when that might happen? When that changeover may occur?
Yes, so this is Marika. At the earliest, the board will consider it in December. This is partly dependent on number or substance of comments that are being received. There's a public comment period open on the new Annex A, which I think runs until the 5th of December, and the board meets on the 8th of December, so likely only in cases where there are no comments or no substantial or no substantive comments, the board might act on it. Otherwise, I think the next opportunity, although I'm not sure whether the board schedule is already published, I guess is likely to be January. But, of course, there might be scenarios as well if any substantial issues are raised, either through community comment or board discussion, it might, of course, take longer. I think the proposal does say that, once the board has adopted, basically then the GNSO Council makes an evaluation or assessment, based on the different PDPs that are ongoing and, which stages they are. And on the basis of that, they will recommend whether they should be transitioned or not. And I think there's an option as well for the working group itself to request or ask for that change. But I think if you look as well at the comparison, overall, some of the major milestones remain the same. It's just some of the details that are different, some of the timelines that have more flexibility in the new PDP process, but some of the main elements, constituency stakeholder group statements, initial report, final report, those elements basically are the same.
Okay. Aubrey is in the queue. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Just as a point, and on those timelines where the new PDP defines them, basically what it's defining very much is what has become habitual under the old PDPs where we never met our timelines. And we never met the bylaws timelines, and we're always basically going to the G Council with a, we're late but it's coming kind of notice. So I think that, trying to follow the new guidelines as much as possible, except for when, of course, they directly conflict, if we can meet a new deadline, a new timeline, I think is our best option. Thanks.
That's an excellent point, Aubrey, and that was why I put myself in the queue. I think that, I agree that we should, we're bound to follow the old process, but the new process has some important improvements and that we should adopt them, except in cases where they might directly conflict or contravene the old process. And I think that this would basically make IRTPC, as far as I know, one of the first hybrid PDPs through this transition, just by kind of a quirk of the calendar, that's what we would end up with. And then once the new process comes into play sometime in early next year, that we would then adopt that going forward from that point on. Does that sound like a reasonable approach, or is there something I'm overlooking that makes that unworkable, Rika, or does that sound like a reasonable approach to us, to our work forward?
Yes. Me it does.
Okay. Well, let's just proceed that way, and then until someone smacks our hands or we hit a brick wall. If there are no other questions on that, I had a second topic, which is moving on to something else you mentioned, relative to just overall IRTP training for folks who are possibly new to this policy or maybe casual users of the IRTP. And really are wondering, scratching their heads and saying, why is this such a big deal that we have to have five separate PDPs for it? So I think the suggestion that Marika had was a good one, that we would have a training session, perhaps outside of the typical PDP working group calendar, where anyone can join, and that the RTP process would be kind of given a survey or a walkthrough. We can call it IRTP 101. I guess, Marika, I would recommend that we put that to the list since we have so many apologies this week, that maybe we can put that particular question to the list and see if we can gauge if there's any interest in that. I think that a lot of the veterans of the previous two might skip that session, but I think it could be valuable for folks that are newcomers and want to get up to speed quickly.
Yeah, this is Rick. I can include it in the action items for this call. And do you then also look for a volunteer to provide that presentation, or you have someone in mind?
Well, yeah, I had staff in mind, but that's a good point. I think we could possibly get a volunteer, or we could, if we could even borrow one of the videos from the registrar training. I don't know if the licensing allows us to do that. Or if we could just provide some of that same material in a PowerPoint. I think that a one-hour session to lay the groundwork for some of the new folks would be valuable.
Yeah. So this is Marika. I think, I'm happy to provide more like the overview where this has all come from, but I think it would be helpful indeed if a registrar with more on-hand experience with the IRTC as such maybe indeed goes through that the training material. I don't think at this stage it's possible to actually have the videos because it's linked to actual training, I think, where, you need to go through it and, answer the questions. But, I did already share the transcript with the group, so, presumably it shouldn't be too difficult to abstract from there the relevant points and then, put them in a PowerPoint format. So I'll put out a note and we can first see if there's interest and maybe then take it from there.
Okay, I'll volunteer to do that, and it just won't be as cool with the video and the cartoons and everything. It's just going to be a clunky black and white PowerPoint, but I'll do it. If assuming, I see a couple folks in the chat window have said that would be valuable, but, if assuming that there's, this groundswell support for the idea, then I will volunteer. Okay. Then I think, are we ready to move to number four? Do we lose Marika?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So are we then clear to move to number four? Do we have any other thoughts, comments, or statements regarding the materials or the training? Okay, the queue is clear, so let's move to number four. Could you put the draft work plan in the Adobe window, Marika?
Yes.
Fantastic, thank you. So as we discussed in our first call, and I think a little bit on the list prior to even the kickoff meeting, was that I think the consensus was that this group wants to see the process happen at a little faster pace than we've seen for previous IRTP, PDPs, and in general just PDP working groups, possibly with the exception of VI. But with that in mind, we kind of set a stake out in the mud in the Toronto meeting, which is slightly less than a year from today, as a target for the final report. And with that in mind, we kind of, I think Marika did a fantastic job. A lot of this stuff was just kind of rattling around in my head, but Marika did a fantastic job of actually laying it out in a chart with dates and milestones. That you can see there in the Adobe screen. And I think that if we could spend a few minutes just going over this and making sure that, everyone still believes that the Toronto deadline is realistic and achievable and desirable, and, B, that we can take a look at just maybe the major milestones, recognizing that we're going to be plus or minus 2 weeks in any given direction for any milestone here, and given that this is ICANN, I can tell you it's going to be plus and not minus. But if we can kind of keep that in mind and just real quickly run through some of the milestones here, and if anyone sees any milestones that are missing or thinks that some are just way too close together, then maybe we can discuss those now. So, Marika, can we spend the next maybe 8 to 10 minutes just going through this? Can you walk us through the milestones here, and then we'll just kind of take a cue as we go along and see if anyone wants to chime in?
Sure. So this is Marika again. So the first item on here is the opening of a public comment period, and I think that comes back to a conversation we had last week. One of the required steps in the current PDP is the opening of a public comment period upon the initiation of a PDP. And past working groups, we've actually been a little bit more flexible with that and said basically it makes more sense to do that once the working group is formed. So it also allows the possibility for the working group to add any specific questions or comments to the opening of such a public comment period. In this case, as the charter questions are relatively straightforward, the proposal would be just to open the public comment period, you know, asking for input on the charter questions. So if the working group agrees with that approach, that could be done relatively quickly and have that open by the beginning of next week. However, if the working group feels that, you know, this might be an opportunity to ask for further specific information or data on certain issues, we might need to spend a little more time on framing the public comment period. So then the next step is basically listing as well the different working group meetings. And, you know, for the first one, I've tried to identify, you know, deliverables and topics for discussion. So one question would be in enhancing this this work plan and timeline is whether it would be desirable or possible to try to identify for the different meetings what specific topics for discussions are or specific deliverables of each of the meetings. So the idea would be that, you know, at the next meeting, we would be able to finalize a work plan based on discussions today and hopefully further comments on the mailing list. Also, a finalization of a stakeholder group or constituency statement request template. Just for your information as well, that's also a required step in the PDP that stakeholder groups and constituency statements are requested to provide their input on the charter questions. What we've done in previous working groups to make that easier for our stakeholder groups and constituencies is to actually develop a template in where we ask them to provide specific, you know, we are able to ask for specific questions. Again, I think in this case, as we're looking at very specific charter questions, it might be relatively straightforward and it's just putting forward those questions. So I'm happy to you know, circulate one of the templates that we've used in previous instances with the, you know, the information that is relevant to this working group, and then, you know, the working group can build on that if they would like. James, you want to comment on this stage, or you want me to run through it? And
yeah, just a quick question here. So I think that the balance that we're trying to strike, and I put this question to the group, and maybe we can put it onto the list as well, is that, you know, by putting out the charter questions as they're defined in the charter or the issues report as is, we kind of cast the widest possible net and make sure that we don't, you know, restrict the feedback that we receive. However, if there is a specific piece of information we're looking for, a specific question, then it's possible we don't get it with that method, and we need to develop a customized template. So I guess the question that we should probably put to the list is, which is more desirable? I tend to think that leaving it as free-flowing and wide open of discussion as possible is more desirable, because that will possibly shake the trees a little bit and give us some insight into questions we hadn't considered if we attempted to, you know, put that all into a template. But I would certainly defer to the group on that. Simonetta had her hand up as well. Are you withdrawing that, Simonetta?
Well, I was actually a little bit on the opposite end of what you just said, James, in terms of, like, one question in particular I was wondering if we should add to the list, and that was basically one of the main reasons why we put forward this work piece about taking a look at what are the CCTLDs doing in order to facilitate a transfer process from A to B with owner update at the same time that may work or may not work very well. I wonder if we should put a question forward there to ask people for their experience with this and really specifically ask them what about this they like and or dislike, so that we have an opportunity to learn also whether it even is a good idea to try and mirror some of that stuff for other or for a more general policy, or if people actually don't like this at all or don't like certain aspects of it, and we would be able to get that type input right away if we ask the question about that off the get-go rather than having to guess down the road what people may have thought about this.
Okay, thanks, Aminetta. So there's a vote for customizing the template and asking for some specific information. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yeah, thanks. On the issue of the CCNSL, and this is not so much to do with the template, it may actually be good to think about inviting either a CCNSO council person or perhaps one of the support staff for the CCNSO to come in and just spend a brief time talking about that while we're even thinking of developing the template so we know what kind of questions are reasonable to put forward. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Aubrey. And although I see Marika has her hand raised, but Mikey had a comment in the chat box. Mikey, did you want to raise that?
This is Mikey. I am kind of thinking that there's value in both of those, that maybe what we do is we have two sections to this request for information where we say, well, here are our charter questions. Please tell us anything you can think of about those. And then another chunk of it that says, by the way, here are a bunch of detailed questions that we thought of that we're interested in, like the one that Simonetta just raised. So sort of do both. I don't think that that would be too confusing to people.
Okay. All right. Marika and Avery's agreeing, and Marika has her hand up. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I basically agree as well with what Mikey said. I mean, the template can be, you know, formed in the way that the working group feels is best suited to the information they're looking for. I think in addition to the charter questions, there are also a number of questions that were raised in the issue report also with regard to potential data gathering. So those might be specific questions, and I'm happy to, you know, look through the issue report and pick out some of those and add those to the template, and then indeed the working group can just add other items as they feel appropriate. With regard to inviting CCNSO support staff, I don't think that will be that useful at this stage because I doubt that they have the hands-on experience with each of the different CCTLDs that have a process in place. I mean, the issue report identifies a number of those and describes those, but I think, indeed, as Simonetta said, it would be very helpful to get user experiences of, you know, how easy it is to use that process or whether there have been issues encountered with those different models. And, again, I think something we raised in the issue report as well, I only identified three specific ones, but I'm sure there might be others. So it would be worth as well maybe asking for specific input if there are other examples or models that are being used that are not included in the issue report but that might be worth considering.
Okay, thank you, Marika. I think the general consensus, and then reading the chat box as well while you were speaking, was that that we want to do both, that we want to have a customized request for comment and a stakeholder group or constituency request a statement template. I think that Aubrey very correctly pointed out that some working groups have in the past bogged down on, you know, getting the language just right. And I think if this group agrees, we can put this entire function to the mailing list with a very tight deadline. Say, for example, of this time next week or at the beginning of next week, where we would have folks submitting their specific questions in addition to the kind of the generic template. The question would be, Marika, is if you or your team would be able to get us started with that on a draft template based on the kind of the standard generic template plus the items you mentioned from the issues report and from the charter.
Yes, it is, Rick. I should be able to get something out probably tomorrow morning. And you know, as I put as well in the chat, I mean, the template is very basic. It just basically has like a header basically saying, you know, you're requested to provide input by X date, and these are the issues we're looking for input on. So, again, as I said, I can, you know, put the template or the charter questions there and then have a look through the issue report and highlight those issues that, you know, we raised in the issue report. And I think that would be a good basis for others to add further questions on, encouraging people to provide an input on the mailing list, and then indeed hopefully be able to finalize that on next week's call.
Okay. Is that acceptable to Avery, Simonetta, and Mikey and all the other folks that wanted to make sure they had an opportunity to get some specific questions in there? Okay. Green check marks, and I think we're good. And Barbara's supporting that as well. Okay. So let's proceed in that direction, Marika.
Okay, so if we then move on to the rest of the work plan, basically then I've listed the different working group meetings, assuming weekly calls, assuming for the moment that we're continuing on a weekly Tuesday schedule. So listing those, and as I said, you know, we might want to consider providing more details on what
Thank
the
you.
Aim is to cover on each of those working group calls. Does someone want to speak up?
Yeah, I wanted to just jump in there. I don't know that we necessarily need to define now what we're going to do for each of those individual calls. However, I think that when we see a group of four or five working group meetings clumped together or more, as we see at the beginning of the year, that we would establish what we want to have deliverable at the end of that section of the working group. So if that helps. I know it takes the resolution of this plan down a little bit, but I think it gives us a little bit more flexibility in the interim to pursue, you know, if a certain issue takes a little bit more time than another one, then we can adjust accordingly. So I was thinking, for example, we see a group of calls from November 29th through December 20th, and, of course, there are holidays floating around in there as well that we just kind of clump those together and say, here are the four things that we want to accomplish out of this group. And then the same thing we would do from January 10th through, you know, through February, that we would have a list of what we want the outputs to be for that particular group. I see Mikey's got his hand up, so I'll go to him next.
Thanks, James. It's Mikey. I'm going to push back a little bit on that. I think one of the things that projects often run into trouble on is if they don't have enough intermediate milestones and the work isn't granular enough, and then at the end there's this scramble. So I understand why you don't want to get it too detailed, but I'd propose something at least in the middle that says, let's make a list of the key deliverables that we want to have done by the milestone date, whatever it is, and put them in order, and then at least put tentative dates around them and drive them into the work plan. Otherwise, I think what will happen is what often happens in projects. All the liquid flows to the very bottom of the pile, and then in the very last week, you've suddenly got six big deliverables to get done at once. So intermediate, I'm lobbying for intermediate milestones there.
Okay, I think that's a good idea, Mikey. You mean as far as, for example, in that group of four, from the four meetings from the 29th through the 20th of December, that we would lay out something in the middle there on December 6th or December 13th and say, you know, we will have this done, these three things or these four things done by the first, by this, so that we can spend the second half of this meeting and, you know, set some floors and ceilings in those groups. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, that's, you know, it may be that we'll want it's hard to say until we know what the stack of deliverables looks like. If it turns out
okay.
There's really only two deliverables between now and the milestone of closing a public comments, well, then maybe we, you know, I think before it's possible to know how many intermediate milestones we've got, we got to know what our deliverables are. And I think once we've got that list, it'll be a lot easier to figure out when we can realistically get them done.
Okay. And I think that your approach also makes sense as well for very large strings of uninterrupted working group meetings to put some better definition in there as well. Like when you have 3 months of meetings. Okay.
Yeah. I think
so. Okay, I want to go to Avery, but I just have a pushback question there, Mikey. Where do we get this list of deliverables in advance? We're going to have to come up with it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Although there are a bunch of us who've been through this a bunch of times before, and if we either spent some time on this call or took a call offline and brainstormed it a little bit, I'll bet we could come up with that list pretty fast. Marika's been through a bunch of them. You and I have, Avery has, a bunch of us have done that, and I don't think it's real hard to come up with that list. based on the work that we've done before, but I think it'll be hugely useful for setting out these intermediate dates.
Okay. I'll go to Aubrey next, and then I had an idea, so I'll put myself in the queue behind her. So,
yeah.
Aubrey?
Yeah, I actually support the idea, and I think, I mean, as long as we know that when we're putting these things down, they're not set in stone, they're penciled in, and we're reviewing, I certainly think it's a thing that between, you know, the chairs, the co-chairs, Marika, and other interested group members, we can come up with an initial list, and then we can periodically adjust it as reality impinges on us, but we'll be doing it deliberately. We'll know that we're changing something earlier or later because of some, you know, difference. So, and I don't think that we need to have something on every date, and I think it's good enough to do some, you know, end-based scheduling where we say, okay, we've decided that we want to try and deliver, you know, by this date, which means we need to be in review by this, we need to be in this by then, et cetera. And then basically at first approximation, just sort of say, and have the topics established here and start working on the topics here and come to tentative, you know, results on the topics by here. And then we can progressively refine it as we know more, so it's not a question that we're waiting for all the information before we do anything. But I think, you know, if for example, three of us take a first crack at it or four of us and then put it out for other people to refine it, you know, and we can do it in some dynamic way, I think it's a good idea to start penciling in the near future. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey. I think that's a good approach. Can we, I'll just go to Simonetta next. I'll put myself behind you, go ahead.
I just had a thought as well that maybe we could use the beginning of one of these blocks of work group meetings to just review quickly what we're trying to get done in the coming block of meetings, be this from the 29th of November through the 20th of December. So when we're starting one of these pieces, and we probably have learned by the 10th of January a bunch of new stuff that we should consider for that block that we might not even think about right now. If we just take the first meeting of one of these blocks to kind of review if we are on track with our deliverables for the next block until the next major milestone hits, then I think we can adjust there.
Thank you, Simonetta. That's similar to what I was going to propose, actually. That's a much better version of what I was going to propose. So I think if I'm understanding you, when we look at the first meeting of a series of meetings, so for example, the 29th of November and perhaps the 3rd or the 10th of January, and then the first meeting after Costa Rica, et cetera, and maybe something in between there, that we would revisit the work plan and see how we were doing, just kind of take a reading and make sure that we're on track, and then lay out the deliverables for that next batch of meetings. I think that's a great idea. So the question then for the group is, how do we get to this? What's a reasonable time frame to get to this first list of deliverables? Is it reasonable to think that we would have something like that by the 29th of November, or is that too soon? Simonetta?
Well, I think we can think at least about what we want to get done between the 29th of November and the 20th of December, thinking that basically between now and then we're going to get a lot of input so we can establish all the topics we need to talk about, and maybe we can already put a question forward about this last piece of the Turner questions where we already, all of us kind of asked, is there any reason to think that this shouldn't just be done that way? So if the comments kind of indicate that this might be something we can easily get square away at the beginning and there's no major issues raised in the comment period, then by the end of this thing, we could probably even look at, like, taking this away at the beginning of the next roadblock and just, like, kind of move forward that way. But maybe we can just brainstorm some of those initial ideas of what to do when and share it either through the mailing list or through a separate call between now and next week so that we have some initial ideas that we can present back to the group on the 29th of November and then just see if there's more feedback coming on that call and if not, just start working that way.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Simonetta. Marika, you had your hand up and then you lowered it. Did you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, just to mention, I think on some blocks it's quite obvious what are going to be the main discussion items. For example, after the 22nd of December, presumably the next couple of meetings will be dedicated to reviewing public comments. Or, after the 2nd of January, there will be, a couple of meetings that will be spent on stakeholder group and constituency statements. So I think some deliverables might be relatively easy to fill in. I guess part of the other question is it relates to how the working group is going to tackle the charter questions, because I guess that partly relates as well on how you identify your deliverables. Are you going to tackle them one by one and identify for each of them if you need additional research or additional information or sub-team, or are you going to do them in parallel? Is there some have already said maybe the third issue is the easy one. Would the idea be to, start with that first and, square that one away and then move on to the other item? So I guess partly relates as well to that discussion on how to manage the work and how you're going to fill in, indeed, the different deliverables and at which stage.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. Any other thoughts on this? Okay, so I think that there's a good consensus of what we want to do here as far as the resolution of the work plan and coming up with a list of deliverables and then establishing where it isn't obvious what we will be working on, establishing at least some pretty clear deliverables for each batch of those working group meetings and then establishing those at the outset so we can take a periodic survey and make sure that we're on track with our overall project plan. One of the thoughts that I wanted to put out there for discussion is if we, and just trying to sum all of this up and kind of wrap up this discussion, would be to identify that the next working group meeting for finalization of the work plan would be that we would have some further completion of this draft. And I will go ahead and volunteer myself with Marika to help put some definition into here. But I would ask that perhaps someone like Avery or Mikey or Simonetta or someone else maybe get together a small group to volunteer to track the overall deliverables and kind of put those together with the other major milestones. And that we would start to put together a list of those. I'm getting bombed by a couple of inputs here. So, Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm certainly willing to take responsibility for tracking the schedule and to work with Mikey, Simonetta, and anyone else that's into doing that. So I'll certainly, as a co-chair option, take that responsibility and to track it not only with putting together the original one, but as time goes on, to do the progressive refinement of it, and to work, of course, with Marika, making sure that we're not putting anything in a scheduled place that makes her life impossible. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. And I see from the chat that Mikey's in as well. And then that takes us, I mean, you can see for yourself here that we have other milestones that will hit throughout the year. Scrolling down, we see that we're now into a face-to-face meeting in Costa Rica, which as we get closer, I think we'll have a better understanding of what we want to accomplish at that meeting. If you look out a little bit further, we'll be putting out an initial report for comments in the early summer and presenting that at the meeting in Prague. Certainly that will generate a number of comments in the middle of the summer that we will then, I'm deliberately glossing over a lot of this here, so bear with me, just trying to mind our time allotment for today. And then, as we get into the late summer, we'll be reviewing public feedback to that initial report, and adjusting our final report as necessary, putting that out for public comment, and presenting that to, I guess we don't put the final report out for public comments. So then we'll be presenting that to council, and we'll begin to be wrapping up the PDP sometime around middle of the fall. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe the working group might want to consider as well, you know, building in some tentative, you know, milestones. Because, for example, something we've seen with recent PDPs was that there was a need or a desire to put out a proposed final report, as the report had, you know, changed between the initial version and the final version in such a manner that people felt it was, you know, needed to have another round of public comment. So I don't know if that's something that people already want to pencil in, saying, look, if we see there's a need, this would be the time where we are planning to put it out, you know, to still hit our deadline, or whether people feel that, you know, maybe halfway through, you know, the schedule is just reviewed and adapted as appropriate. I don't know if there's, you know, or maybe it's just a question of putting a little footnote and saying, you know, in case more opportunities for public comment are needed, the working group will build these in as necessary.
Well, I think, yeah, that's something we need to account for. I mean, I think that my old project management days, that would be considered a risk, right, that later on in the process we would have to revisit something in a significantly material way and that we would have to then put that back out for comment. I'm not sure that, I mean, I guess I would leave it to the group whether we want to account for that at the outset or plan for that, because I think if you plan for it, then it will happen. Simona, go ahead.
I would plan for it, actually, but you could preface it as needed. I think we don't know right now what the reactions will be to our initial report. So if we come up with something that won't face any resistance, then perfect. We might not need another public comment period. But if the reactions to the initial report are quite strongly and people would feel very unhappy with us putting something to the GNSL Council without further consultation, and we can already kind of gauge this by the tone and type of comments we received on the initial report, then it would be kind of funny to not ask for more input at that point in time, but we don't know this right now.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good point. And first of all, let's say that I expect that the reception to our initial report will be something around the lines of a ticker tape parade with people throwing rose petals and cheering our names and carrying us around Prague, the streets of Prague, on our shoulders. But anything short of that, yes, we would have to go back to get some additional public comments. I see that there's a large batch of meetings there, Marika, between, it's in the July through September timeframe. So perhaps we should back out from October, leave us a couple of meetings there to analyze public comment, and then back out perhaps 30 days, maybe into the early part of August, and say that, you know, we put a marker down and say if we need to have another public comment session, that it must begin no later than this particular date. And I think that that's probably right around the, first week of August. And of course, that's a time when a lot of people just kind of check out from ICANN stuff, and I understand that that's part of the risk that we have in this schedule. But I think that at least if we have a marker down, Simonetta, then we can account for that if we need it. Okay, so we have a few action items there, but we've only got 8 minutes left, and I wanted to cover the other two things fairly quickly, and I don't want to have Marika read this next bit because it was my idea, and if it's completely out of school, then I want to be the one that takes the criticism for it. So one of the things that I wanted to float out for public discussion would be something called a commitment to participate. And this is, of course, this is ICANN, we're all volunteers. This is a non-binding promise for working group members to do their best to attend meetings to join sub-teams if they feel that they can contribute to those, and to respond to action items, surveys, questions, and consensus calls on the mailing list. I think that there's a lot of veterans here at PDPs, and I think that we can all account for, we all have our war stories or our anecdotes of PDPs that start off with a lot of enthusiasm and a big crowd, and then a couple months into it, there's just a couple of diehards, and then as you get close to the to producing a report or possibly even wrapping up the PDP, a lot of folks kind of reactivate and come back into the PDP, and in some cases, and I know this happens. This is not going to shock some people, but in some cases they want to reopen some of the items that have been included in the report or readdress some of the recommendations. It's just human nature. We're all here for our various interests, and we all have our positions that we have to advance. So, I think that I wanted to get this kind of out there as on the mailing list, circulate it out, and have everybody say, yes, this is my plan. I intend to participate. You can count on me, work in group, and then maybe we all feel like we have a little bit more of a mutual interest in the outcomes of the group. The second part of this would be something like we would have to take into account that some folks join working groups just to monitor them, just to monitor the mailing group, a mailing list, and keep up with the developments and discussions, and that's perfectly acceptable as well. But I think that if someone intends to take that particular role, that perhaps we should state that at the outset. So that's my thinking here. This is not something that's required or even prescribed by the PDP process, but it is just sort of a brainstorm, coloring outside the lines a little bit, and wanted to get thoughts on if anyone is vehemently opposed to this idea. Aubrey?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one point. I think it's a good idea. I support it. One thing, though, that if we do decide to do it, we should try to make sure that there's at least, here you're calling it commitment to participate. In another context, it was called stuckies, but that there's at least one committed to participate from each of the constituencies and others who might be interested if, for example, we have ALAC participation or whatever, so that we have a good case to make as in the final analysis that there was, a good distribution of effort because we did have one committed to participate from each of the constituencies, and indeed they did participate all the way through. So at least, we have that because that's one of our responsibilities. And it's one of the liaison's responsibilities under the new PDP rules to ensure that we've got that. So this is one way of sort of ensuring it and being able to check on it, that, we don't have to check all of the people who are participating in the group and say, okay, which one is from constituency one, which one is from constituency two. We know that we've got our six stuckies. Thanks.
No, that's a good idea, and I think that does address one of those recurring themes or concerns is that we're, we don't have everyone at the table. So I think that's a good idea as well, and it certainly makes Zahid's position, I think, a little more straightforward in that he can tell exactly who's, who's there and who isn't. Mikey has a question. I don't know if you want to raise that on the call, Mikey, or if it's just something, there's certainly a lot of questions and holes in this idea, Mikey. I grant you that. It's just something to... just trying to take a swing at something here.
I had two. This is Mikey. I had two questions. One is, what happens to people who don't live up to this? And we've talked a little bit about that.
Nothing at all.
Guilt. Guilt is a good motivator. We could, post it to the wiki that, who's showing up and who's not or whatever. But anyway, then the other one is in terms of the monitor status thing. It would be nice if people perhaps could self-identify so that we didn't beat them up for not showing up.
Yeah, but I think it's possible to think that someone would start off in a working group with, a commitment to participate fully and then have to drop down into a monitoring function based on something that they hadn't anticipated of. And you certainly don't want to, publicly shame people for that. But I think that I think Simonetta's idea is good too. We usually typically have an attendance sheet that goes into the final report showing the individuals who participated throughout the process, and maybe some kind of a gold star next to the folks who stuck it out all the way through. I think, I just wanted to put this out here, and we can circulate it to the list and maybe continue that conversation via email and see if we want to adopt something like this. But I just wanted to make sure that folks understood that this was in order to hit this aggressive time frame, we're going to need a commitment, from folks that they're not necessarily just going to put this on autopilot and catch up on their email every Tuesday. But this is an active role that we're asking everyone to take in order to make that goal, and I think that I think that's understood, and I think that for the most part everyone values that. So real quickly, want to move on to the next item, the last item. We just have a minute here, but the meeting time and dates. Traditionally, if there is such a thing at ICANN as tradition, is that the IRTP groups met at this time for 1 hour every Tuesday. I've had a couple of folks ping me and say that this is not going to work for them all the time, every Tuesday, or perhaps that it will work for them for, I think, through the first of the year, and then folks start to run into conflicts. So I'm totally open to the idea of reopening the IRTP schedule and possibly putting out a doodle poll by Marika. I think that the status quo has some inertia here just because there are so many other meetings going on that are recurring that when we start moving one, it creates a bit of a cascade failure throughout the whole ICANN calendar. But if it is Tuesday at this time, which I believe is 1500 UTC, if that is a serious problem for a significant portion of the folks that are attending this working group, I think that we need to know that now so that we can start looking at some other ideas, whether that's moving the time, moving the days, or changing the length of the meeting. So what I would then ask is that Marika will work with staff to put out a doodle poll to just see, a couple of questions. One, can you live with this time frame most of the time, even if it's not perfect? And two, if you can't, what is your what does work for you on a recurring basis? And I see that Simonetta's got a good point here about the Stuckey schedule. So look for that, please, and we'll send that around, and we'll ask folks to respond as quickly as possible, because I think that we need to get that nailed down as part of our work plan. So with that, I see that we are 1 minute over our time frame, which isn't really too terrible considering how things usually go in ICANN world. So I wanted to put out any other final comments before we adjourn for today.
Thank you for taking the active chair role.
Hey, my pleasure. And thank you, Aubrey. I think I may be leaning on you more than you more than you might anticipate. Okay, well, everybody have a great Tuesday, if it's evening or afternoon, and we'll look for some additional follow-up items on the list, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks a lot, James. Great job,
bye.
Folks. Thanks, Avery.
Thank you, Louis.